Welcome to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is committed to the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the justification of the sinner by grace through faith for Jesus' sake. And now a sermon from Pastor William Swirla of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church.
In the name of Jesus, hear again the words of the prophet Isaiah, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy." And also the words of the crowds as they looked on what Jesus had done. "He has done all things well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Jesus is doing a bit of a road tour of sorts here, going from the coastal regions of Tyre and Sidon to the inner region of the 10 cities, the Decapolis. That's what that means, 10 cities. He seems to be avoiding Galilee, at least for the moment. It might have been the crowds in Galilee that he was avoiding because his fame was spreading, his celebrity growing, crowds pressing in on him all around. Or it might have been Herod Antipas, the tetrarch of Galilee, whom Jesus was trying to avoid. Herod had killed John the Baptizer and now had designs on Jesus as well. Whatever the reason, Jesus was moving through non-Israelite territory, Gentile territory. That's the whole thing to keep in mind here. The Messiah of Israel is also the Christ of the world. And here Jesus shows it by his works and his words. The people of the Decapolis bring a man to Jesus who could neither hear nor talk, a deaf mute. The people beg Jesus that he would lay his hand upon the man. That's the usual gesture of a healer. You laid your hand on the sick person and you invoked the name of God in search of healing. In other words, the people have a plan, a preconceived notion, a purpose as to how Jesus is supposed to work. He's supposed to do what every other healer does. He's supposed to lay his hands on the sick person and pray. But Jesus is no ordinary healer. He is the Lord of all healing. He is the source of all strength. He is the Christ of God, the Son of God. You and I sometimes approach Jesus in much the same way as those people of the Decapolis with their deaf, mute friend. We not only present the problem to God, we also present the solution and the desired outcome. Here's what we want, Lord, and here's how we think you should do it. It's a little bit like the kid, you know, who's looking for Christmas presents and so rummages through the internet and prints out all the stuff that he wants, complete with catalog number and color. You know, the more you specify a gift, the less of a gift it actually is. It turns more into a transaction, a bargain, a deal, which is how the old Adam would really like to deal with God, cut a deal. Transactionally. Lord, give us exactly what we want, when we want it, in the way that we want it, and thank you in advance for your cooperation. In the name of Jesus, amen. Give me patience, Lord, but don't let me suffer. Give me wisdom, Lord, but spare me the pain of learning and experience. Give me healing, Lord, but spare me the HMOs and the doctors. You know how it goes. We do it all the time, don't we? Jesus does not go this route with this man. He takes him aside privately, away from the crowds. This poor man's plight is no circus sideshow for the religious curious. He has lived his entire life on the fringes of society, in utter silence, unable to speak, unable to hear. Imagine for a moment a world like his where you've never heard the sound of laughter, or music, or a child's voice, a baby's cry, any human voice for that matter. Imagine a world where you couldn't speak your thoughts clearly to another human being. The thoughts are there, they're clear enough. You have the feelings that you want to express. You want to say them so badly. You want to relate. We relate by words. You want to connect to another person. Ideas, you want to exchange ideas. And you can't get the words out. They refuse to form on your tongue. Can you imagine the frustration of that? People who have had a stroke know a bit about this. The futility, the frustration of not being able to communicate with the people they love, with the outside world. I remember visiting a man once in the hospital. He's not of this congregation. I met his family just quite by accident in the waiting room looking for one of our members. And they saw me in my collar and they came running up to me and they said, "Would you please visit our father? He's really depressed and he needs to talk to somebody, and would you just go and talk to him?" So I said, "Sure, what room's he in?" He was a little bit older than I am, just a little bit. And he'd suffered a very serious stroke that wiped out his speech. It was obvious that he could understand every word that I was saying to him. It was equally obvious that he was a very intelligent man and had a lot to say. And it was also just as obvious that he couldn't form a single syllable in his mouth. And to watch that man's face and the frustration, the veins sticking out of his neck, the muscles tense in his face, it was overwhelming. It was almost too difficult to bear. It was as though words were imprisoned inside of him and they couldn't come out. They couldn't come out. To be deaf and mute is to live in a world without words. Imagine a world without words. You can read the words, and maybe you can write them, but you've never heard what those words sound like. You've never even heard your own voice say those words. In many ways, that deaf mute is a picture of us. Our condition before God. We are born deaf. Deaf to God's word. I don't care how good your hearing may be. We are born unable to hear the word of God. Unable to discern God's will. We are born mute. I don't care if we have a voice and a tongue and lips that work. We are born mute to God's praises, unable to open our mouths and loosen our tongues so that we may sing the praises of Him who called us out of darkness. It's a spiritual deafness, a spiritual muteness. We can hear the world's words just fine, but the Word of God just pings off of our ears. Our ears are not naturally attuned to hear it. And it's the word of God that our lips are not naturally conformed to. That's why I like that prayer, that versicle that opens Matins. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. If the Lord doesn't open our lips, you and I both know what comes out. And it's not the praise of God. God must act if we are to hear and believe and speak. Jesus takes the man aside privately, and then he does a strange thing with him. He puts his fingers into the man's ears. Now remember, he can't hear, he can't speak. So this all has to be worked out, huh? He puts his fingers into the man's ears. He spits. He spits. And he touches the man's tongue. And he looks to heaven, to the Father who sent him. And he sighs this deep, deep sigh, and he says a single word, "Ephatha, be opened." The incident has a lot in common with exorcisms, by the way. That's why Mark puts an exorcism just before this incident. Because what Jesus does with the deaf mute is very much the process of exorcism, sticking the fingers into the ears, spitting, touching the tongue, the sighing, the word of command. And while the text doesn't say that the man was demon-possessed, it's really all part and parcel of the same thing. The same fall of man, the same fall of the creation, the same subjection to decay and disease and the demonic and death. Jesus has come to set it all back in order again. He has come to take away this world from the devil's hands and restore it to the hand of God. He has come to heal our deafness and our muteness, and he absorbs it all with a deep divine sigh. He takes it into himself, and he speaks out a word into that man, Ephatha, that exorcises his deafness and his muteness. And please, for a second, revel in the earthiness of it all. Fingers and ears, tongues touched, yuck. Not hovering hands and incantations and all that nonsense. God comes down to us. He reaches down to us where we are. He sticks the fingers of his word into our ears. He grabs hold of our tongues and he says in our deafness, Ephatha, be opened. Ephatha to our stammering tongues and lips. And the word of Jesus does what it says. It has the power to do what it says. Just as in the beginning, when the word said, be light, and there was light, immediately the man's ears were opened by Jesus, Ephatha, to hear, and his tongue was loosed to speak. Words were again a part of his word, his world. Words given to him by the word spoken by Jesus. The prophet Isaiah had seen and foretold this day. He said this, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped, then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute will sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert, the burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. These are the messianic signs. These are the signals that Messiah has come, that the age of Messiah's reign has dawned, that God has come to save his people. Now, I'm sure there were plenty of deaf mutes in the 10 cities. And I'm equally sure that there were plenty of deaf mutes and demonized people in the land of Israel. But Jesus didn't simply come to provide free health care to the Gentiles. He came to bring ultimate healing, to reverse the ravages of sin and death, to flex the mighty arm of God to save and to redeem. This man was an example. Jesus had made an example out of him, a messianic sign, a visible historic sign that Jesus indeed was the Messiah of Israel, the Christ of God, that he is the creative word in the flesh, come to bring a new creation by his own dying and rising. And then something remarkable happens. He opens the man's ears, he loosens the man's tongue, and then he tells everybody, shh, don't tell anybody about this. What? Did we hear right? Or are our ears still not working? What's the point in opening a man's lips if his mouth isn't supposed to tell everybody what Jesus had done? Why the secret? Simply this, because Jesus knew all the ways people get this wrong. They would see him as nothing more than a wonder worker, a source of free health care, a vending machine for every blessing. They would think Messiah, and they would conclude that Jesus was going to use this power to overthrow the government, to put Israel on the map, to restore the throne of David, to lead a revolution, to wipe out hunger and poverty and disease in this world and become a great king, ruling by the power of God. They would get all the wrong ideas of Jesus, and so Jesus keeps it all quiet. But the truth is, you can't keep it quiet. The more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They said all over the place, he has done all things well. He's good at what he does. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak, and they hadn't seen anything yet. Wait until they see him lifted up on the cross, bearing the world's sin in his own flesh. Oh yeah, wait until they hear him cry from his own lips, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" as his prayers fall on seemingly deaf ears. Wait until he becomes deaf and mute with our sin and our death. But then there will be no crowds, only a handful of faithful disciples. But there the price of this healing was paid. By his wounds we are healed. That's the price. By his wounds we are healed. There on the cross was the ultimate show of God's strength. There on the cross was the recompense of God that Isaiah spoke of. God did justice that day in his Son, who became deaf and blind and mute and lame and dead to save you. Jesus wants to do for you and for me what he did for that man in the Decapolis that day. He wants to stick his word in your ears. He wants to cut through your deafness, to open your ears, your minds, your hearts. He speaks his ephatha to you here, today. Be opened. He wants to grab those tongues of yours, tongues that don't naturally know how to praise, to pray, to give thanks, to confess, and he wants to loosen them for his service and praise. He wants to turn our tongues into instruments of worship and witness, declaring the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous, marvelous light, who raised you from the grave of your sin, who shed his blood that you might live under him in his kingdom, who glorified you at the right hand of God in his own flesh. And oh, by the way, it's okay to talk about it now. It's okay. No commands of silence anymore. Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing, teaching. The work is done. It's finished. Jesus has accomplished the mission. He has died. He has risen. He reigns. Tell everyone. If he healed your deafness, and if he cured your muteness, you'd be talking about it all over the place. I know you would. You couldn't stop yourself. Jesus has healed your sin. Jesus has cured your death. He has given you eternal life. He has baptized you into his life. He has placed his body and his blood on your tongues. He has put the fingers of his word, his forgiving word, into your ears. There is much to tell, and much to praise, and much to sing, and much to give thanks for. He has done all things well for you. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Services at Holy Trinity are Sundays at 9 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 15710 Newton Street in Hacienda Heights, California, and on the web at www.htlcms.org.